Hello, guys. Good morning. Oh, wow. First time I hear my voice on those speakers. Happy New Year, guys. It's already 10:10, and the pastor is here. I don't want to get yelled at, so I better start praying. All right. Lord, thank you for this year. Thank you for the opportunity that you gave me, that you gave us to bring the Word of God to your people. Please bless this class. I think the ladies are also doing a class. Just use us. I pray also for the classes of baptisms and that the Lord can reign in their heart and in their mind. I pray for clarity in my words. I pray that the people that hear this class have the desire and listen and obey your commands. I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so everything is about expectations. So I'm going to ask you to please lower your expectations. So you know how, when you invite someone to your house and like, no, nice, my house is a mess. You know, so that's basically what I'm doing right here. So, you know, if I can compare this to when you go out and eat, I'm not like a filet mignon in a Saturday. Some of you may say you're more like a Taco Tuesday. I agree with you. Pastor over there, that is Saturday. And the second thing that I got to apologize is my accent. You may say, no, I can understand. But sometimes Siri, you know, when I speak to my phone, doesn't think the same. She's like, let me pass you to Maria, you know, so I understand. That is not always, you know, my best accent. So if you can lower your expectations and you can go with me on my accent, I think we're just going to be just fine. All right? So we already went through that. So this very first thing is going to be one of the most important things. At the end of every class, I would like for one of you to go through a normative principle, which is the main idea. What do we talk about? What is the main idea? So today we're going to do an introduction for sound doctrine. And then we also have on every main idea a situational. How does that idea work out? Okay, I understand what you're saying. What is it going to happen in my life? How am I going to approach this idea after I listen to it, after it comes part of me? What do I do with it? And the third one, it is existential. So the existential has to do with the being, has to do with who am I? And at the end for today, I'm going to be going through one of those, give an example for each one. But in the following classes, I want you to please like raise your hand and like, how is this class helping you in your situational and in your existential approach? And before we go any further, I would like to speak about some definitions. So the first definition will be doctrine. Doctrine is just teaching, and that's what we're doing right now. We're teaching. The next one, it is dogmatic theology. Any of you are here members of Grace? You guys, can you raise your hand? You members? All right. So when we approach the dogmatic theology, is the organization of Scripture with an emphasis on favor or selected church creeds. Some of these, they're not up for debate. It just is. So in order for you to be a Christian, you need to believe in the Trinity. It's like, no. I think, Christ is not truly man or truly God or 100% is not up for debate. Like the essentials, in order for you to be a Christian, you need to believe in the Trinity. You need to believe that Jesus is truly man and truly God. You need to understand that it's wholly inspired. It is 100% written by man, but it's also 100% inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when you guys took your class, if he was with Pastor Jack or Pastor Randy, they give you 10 points. And those things weren't up for debate. So when we learn, the way that you guys approach to this church is like, that church has some beliefs that align with my beliefs. Now, the important part on this alignment is not you. It's not the way that you see things. It's because these things are truth. That's why grace is not going to bend to the truth, to your own desires. The next one is biblical theology. So what is biblical theology? So biblical theology is the organization of a scripture either thematically, by biblical chronology, or by biblical author with respect to the progressive revelation of the Bible. Now, how many of you started the chronological reading of the Bible right? I started it. That may last another couple of weeks because, you know, we always do that at the beginning of the year. So when we start learning from the Bible, at the beginning, we don't really understand the deep truths of the Bible. Like, oh, so this first book is Genesis and then Exodus. And we start learning about the Bible. Sometimes we don't understand the meaning of the story, Noah or Abraham, but we start learning the characters. We start learning the chronological order of events. And that helps us when we go to the sermon and pastor is preaching and says, grab your Bibles. We can always have that knowledge that once a truth is given to us, we have a place to put it. So I'm a dad of four beautiful kids. And sometimes we ask too much from them, right? Read this, learn this, and this is what it means, and tell me what I just said. Sometimes we just gotta tell them the story. Just let's use little vitamins, little by little, tell them the story. Can you repeat the story back to me? Yes, let's pray and let them go to sleep. You know, there is gonna be that one day. So sometimes we want to get all this theology all at once in 15 minutes. And then the following, it's an approach of systematic theology. It is an orderly, coherent story of the principal doctrines of the Christian faith, which is something like bibliology, theology proper, Christology, and pneumatology. So there is doctrines that we can go back. Now, this time is not chronologically. Like, we're not going to start in Genesis and finish on Revelation. This time, we're going to grab a doctrine. What is eschatology? What is justification? And we're going to see what the Bible says about that one subject. And there is more than this four, but I just want to refer to these four. And I want to make you aware that you approach this at all times, at all times. The last one is either pastoral or doctrinal theology, which is the organization of scripture with an emphasis on the personal application of doctrinal truth in the lives of the church and individual Christians. So how does this apply in your life? One day you grab a book, and that book has a theme about marriage or parenting. In that book, you're going to find everything that the Bible says about marriage, everything that the Bible says about parenting. And that idea is going to come together. Now, it is important for us to understand what sound doctrine is because we want to learn from others. It is important to be plugged into the church. It is a chain. Like, you always have to be close to someone that knows more than you, but also to someone that knows less than you. You need to be learning, and then you need to be given that knowledge constantly. And that is one of the goals of this class, that by the end, like, you're connected. You're connected to the church. Now, how we do this doctrine? The first way, don't put too much attention on the definition right now. Tradition. For many years, I was Catholic. And we just used to do things because that's the way it's been done. It's just a tradition. What am I doing it? Be quiet and do it. Why am I going in the knees? Just do it. If you don't do it, God is going to get mad at you. It is just, you have to do it. It is tradition, tradition, tradition. The next one is authority. Sometimes when we come to church, we're like really desperate. And we just want someone to guide us. And we don't even take time. We don't even know how to read the Bible. And we may go to the wrong church and we just listen to that pastor because it is the pastor. It is someone with authority that knows more and is going to tell me how to live my life. And that approach without reading the Bible, it is wrong. The next one will be with emotions. And how do we approach doctrine? We learn and we are willing to learn if it feels good. Why are you going there? Because it feels good. Yeah, but you see what they're doing there at the end of the service? Everybody is on the floor. They speak in different languages. You're like, but it feels good. Yeah, but there is no prophets or apostles. So like, but it feels good. It's like we are guided with our emotions. We go to places because we do not understand the scripture, but it feels good. And then the last one, it is reason. As you guys know, when you approach the Bible, if it's uncomfortable, it's probably good for you. But we want to hear, you know, itching ears. I want to sit down and I want the pastor to tell me that I'm doing okay. I want the pastor to tell me that everything in my life is perfect. I want the pastor to tell me that I'm going to get the job. And we just come with these expectations of reasoning. And it has to be our own reasoning. Now, the last one, it is a scripture. And it's just, you go to the Bible and you read it. That is pretty healthy too, but you may get to the wrong conclusions. So, the first four must be filtered through a scripture. Going back to the first one, tradition. So it is a word that comes from Latin and is divided in two. The first one is trans. No, it's not one of those classes. I'm not going there. It is also another reason why I'm wearing blue. All right. So trans means a cross. And dare, give, is to give a cross, to deliver. And to deliver, it means like at the moment that the apostles wrote, follow the traditions. Paul says, follow the traditions. Just keep giving what you have received. Now, when it comes to the gospel, there is nothing that we can add. There is nothing that we can create. There is absolutely nothing new that we can bring to it. The only thing that happens is that we receive it and we preach it. We give it to others. So there is just a tradition to follow. It is the tradition that we learn from Jesus, the things that we learn from the apostles, not the things that come from the magisterium in the Catholic Church, not the traditions from some other people that just put a church 100 years ago. That's not what we do. The next one, when it comes down to authority, we want to be under the care of qualified elders, people that are living this out. And I don't know if I'm biased about this one, but Grace is a perfect place full of godly people that you can learn from, that you can receive knowledge from. It is a blessing to be in a church like this. I really love it. The next one, it is emotions. Now, emotions are not 100% bad. As long as your affections are in the right place. The affections need to be grounded in the love of Jesus with the truths of the Word of God. If you love Jesus, your emotions are going to be okay. Now, let's say that you like, I don't know if is there any supporters of the Cowboys in this place? No. I don't know. There may be one or not. I don't know. But if your affections are with that team, this season you're suffering. You know what I mean? So it's okay that your emotions are there a little bit, that you can celebrate, but do not affections to be with an idol, because you're going to suffer. You're going to have bad Sundays, many bad Sundays, and that is not healthy. That is not good. The last one, it is reason. Now, the truth belongs to God. Now, we need to be wise. What is wisdom? So wisdom is the ability to see the things the way God sees them. Not the way I see them, not the way it feels good for me at this moment, but Are my affections in the right place and I'm coming to the right conclusions because I'm reading the Bible so much that I'm making good decisions with my wife, with my kids, with my family, at work? So you need to really be wise. In the scripture, we need to study it. But the way that we want to study it is to challenge us. I remember Pastor Jack is, did you read your Bible today? Did you read your Bible this week? Yes. Did it bring you to any conviction, to any repentment? Do you repent from anything because you're reading the Bible? If the answer is no, you're probably not reading it that deep. If the answer is yes, congratulations, you're reading your Bible. Now, what is the source of doctrine? And with that, I gave you guys some of your sheets are highlighted. Can you please help me with the first one, Matthew 11, 25 to 27? Someone has it? Yep. Amen. So the source of sound doctrine, first of all, it comes from the Trinity. And it comes for our understanding. 1 Corinthians 2, 10, 11. So not only the Trinity is working out sound doctrine, but that the way that it was delivered to us, the plan of redemption, of salvation of the Father, that the Son accomplished, and the seal of eternal life that is in us because we believe, because we declare. We believe in our hearts, we declare with our mouth. And that communion with the Holy Scripture, through the Holy Scripture, it is for our understanding. Now, the Holy Scripture... 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
Amen. Now, this training, it says that it's not men. Mark 7, 7 and 8.
And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines their commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God. Hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do.
Amen. So, and it started with Pastor Jack and my brother Rob and Chris. We read a book called Peculiar Glory. And you need to have the understanding that the Bible, it is the Word of God, and the power, it is in the Word of God. Many times, we understand that we have some kind of power. I don't know too much Bible. I don't know how to speak with that person. Well, good news. It is not you. It is not you who brings salvation. It is not you who delivers people. It is not you that came with this plan. It says that is the madness of God that he chose preaching as a tool for evangelism. Now, if we understand that it's not men, that is solely the power, and that is all you need. That's not better news than that. You need just the Bible to go out there and preach to other people. What it happens if untaught men teach it? 2 Peter 3:16.
As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction.
Yes. There is many people that come to the wrong conclusions. There is many people, and the worst thing is that they hurt another people. It is horrible to come to the Bible, to come to your own conclusions, and want to teach others error. is not only ungodly, but it's almost evil to say the Lord says, the Bible says, when he did it. So the source of sound doctrine, it is the Trinity. It is the Holy Scripture. So now we're going to go to what is the object of sound doctrine. The primary object is God. Romans 11:36. Amen. Amen. Sorry I'm speaking too much about Pastor Jack, but that's where I learned my, you know, all this from, so I got to mention him. I got to mention him. And he asked me, hey, Marco, why are you studying the Bible? And I thought it was a good answer. I really thought this was a good answer. Hey, Pastor, because I'm teaching in Spanish, and none of you know what I'm saying, and I just want to study with you for you to make sure that whoever's teaching in Spanish, it is teaching the same thing that you're teaching. Wrong. Everything that we study, it is to worship God. You should worship God better when you study your Bible. This, not only the source, but the object is also to go back to God, to bring glory to God. The secondary object, it is all things in relationship to God. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Someone... Amen. So now, these are presented to us in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Scripture, in a Trinitarian way, Titus 3:4-7. Amen. There is something that we call eternity past. In eternity past, there was a plan in the mind of the divinity, in the mind of God, the Trinitarian God that we worship. And it was to save us. And that source of not only love, but also for us to live in a righteous way, it was stored in the Trinitarian way. And it was creation affirming. And that is on 1 Timothy 2:13-15. Dualistic way. That is, I have a relationship with God. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. It is just me and God. And you see that relationship as all it is. It is more than that. It is, when we go and we read the book of Revelation, he came to marry his church. He came for the church, not for you individually. In a way, yes, he loves you. He loves me. But more than that, it is very, very strongly church-oriented. And what is the end of sound doctrine? Sound doctrine liberates us from false teaching. I don't know how many of you come from a different church than what Grace is, but I do. From places that people shouldn't be teaching, things that people shouldn't be learning, a perspective of life that we shouldn't have, that it does not glorify God. So not only the end of sound doctrine it is for us to worship God, but it's also to take us away from false teaching. The next one, it is arrest of spiritual development. Ephesians. Yep.
So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes.
Amen. So now that we are here, now that we understand that the traditions that we're following are correct, that the elders are not only qualified but are willing to help us, that we're in a very healthy place, it's time for us to grow. There is going to be sound doctrine that when you take your classes here at Grace, whatever it is, men, women, Friday mornings, whatever you are, you're learning sound doctrine. And the question is always going to be, what do I do with this knowledge? Yes, you should worship God better. But what are the actions? How are you going to accomplish all this? Foster ecclesiastical discord. Romans 16.
I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them.
Amen. So in our discussions about the Bible, what do they say? Don't talk about sports, politics, and religion. I don't follow that. I talk about religion all the time. I don't follow that. This is the truth. It's not that I'm coming with something new. It is not me who's leading either the debate or the conversation, but it is the Word of God. Now, this is the only way that we know that everything that is happening here in Grace, it is truth. And it is well. So by us understanding these things, how does sound doctrine serve us? Inside the church? 1 Timothy?
Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so, in doing this, thou hast both saved thyself and them that hear thee.
Now, inside the church, we are beautifully protected by sound doctrine. When you come here on a Sunday, and I hope you guys are enjoying this. I don't know if some of you have your translator next to you. But if you're enjoying it, it is sound doctrine. If you already went or you're about to go to pastor preaching, that is sound doctrine. If you come here on Wednesdays, that is sound doctrine. And we receive all this inside the church with the purpose to bring it outside the church. Matthew 5:13-16.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same ways, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
We do understand this analogy of the light and that we need to be the light out there. But I want to talk a little bit about salt. What does salt mean? At the beginning, I thought it was flavor. And I like that because I'm Latino and I got some flavor. You know what I mean? I like that. But it is about preservation. Before there was a fridge, around the meat you put a lot of salt to preserve the meat. It won't go bad. And it is our duty that after you learn it, you preserve it. That you live out your life in a godly way, that you hold on to the truths, not only that are good for you to live, but are also even good for you to die for. It is something that we do not really experience here in America. It is a truth. And we're coming to the end. This was just an introduction. This class is going to be based off of a 9-mark book that is called Sound Doctrine. If you guys want to get it, you still have some time. Go to Amazon or go to our library over here, and if you can get it before next Sunday, that'd be perfect. If not, I'll be, you know, just giving it out. But what does sound doctrine bring then? That is the conclusion. It brings life, the life of the church, enabled us to read and teach the Bible, He delivers, he brings us holiness, love, unity, worship, witness, and joy. But above all, doctrine shines the glorious rays of the gospel of God. 1 Timothy. Not only we should be the reflection, but we should be looking at God so close that we'd see his glory everywhere. The beauty of his truths and the beauty of his truths applied in our life by directing our faith and love toward God and Christ. 2 Peter. Amen. So yes, everything should bring glory to God. And as I said at the beginning, when we're talking about the perspective, today as a main idea, we talk about what sound doctrine is. In a situational way, and this is the things that I want you to, next class, please raise your hand and bring some example. It is, how does this idea worked out? I have been coming to Grace for over a year, and I've been learning from good men. And the sound doctrine, it is transforming my life, my family, my marriage. I used to be a very dry person with my wife because I was more, I think it's safe to say, more a legalistic way. This is your role. This is my role. I'm doing my role. When are you going to do yours? Not only that, even if she was doing it, I will judge. You're doing this, you're doing that wrong. Yeah, that you should have been done that earlier. But sound doctrine brought grace to me to understand the gospel, to understand that we receive forgiveness, we receive mercy, we receive grace, and I wasn't giving it out, none of that, or very little of that, or on my own terms. So when you approach to godly men that are rooted in sound doctrine, things start changing in your situation, the way you're experiencing your life, but also in an existential way, the way that I'm reading my Bible now, the way that I enjoy devotions, it has been changing. And all this is happening because of sound doctrine. All this is happening because here in Grace, you're experiencing sound doctrine. And there is godly men that are willing to go along with you, hold you by the hand, metaphorically, don't get too, you know, and take you there where you need to be. Now, God has given us the good gift of doctrine. And just to finish, the very last verse, it says, "You are good and do good. Teach me your status." This word status is, teach me your law. Teach me your commandments. When we approach God, many times this is scary because we felt sure, very sure, to what he wants from us. And we cannot. It is truth. We cannot do it all. But the beauty is that we have Jesus. We have Jesus to go along. So what are you telling me, Marco? That I can approach God? Yes, but you're also telling me that I need to follow his commands. Yes, but do you understand that I'm not able to do it 100%? Yes. Do you understand that I'm a very sinful person? Brother, I understand that very, very much because I know you. No, because I because I know me. I know me. I know me. I know the way that I am. I know that, Romans 7, I do the things that I don't want to do. Those things, those are the ones that I do. But still, you can always come. There is new mercies every morning. There is a group of people, there is many places that you can connect either to serve or to receive from others, to give to others. It is a great place to be, and I'm very privileged. And I thought I wasn't gonna make it through the whole way. I was really nervous. I was expecting less people. This is way too much for the first time. But thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we ask you that your commandments, that your statutes, that your law is not only written in our hearts, but the desire to do them, to accomplish them. We ask you, Lord, that you keep developing a strong man here in grace, that the sound doctrine, it is affecting every single ministry, men's ministry, woman's ministry, single ministry, that all the people, that all the kids that come here to grace not only have good role models, but godly models, that godly people that are not only teaching, but are keeping faithful to the truths. Lord, give us the opportunity to live and to die for these truths. Give us the joy that we can experience the beauty of living under the sound doctrine. Give us the beauty to teach others, to learn it, to live it out. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.